This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Parshas Vayeshchanan has in itself the Luchos. It's interesting that even though it's repeating the same events at Har Sinai, and that's the general flow of the psukim, we're hashing over the events at Har Sinai and the age and everything. The luchos themselves are the luchos shnias. Rashi points out, Chazal, that the difference in Shomer and Zohar and so on is the luchos shnias. It's strange that you would have in luchos shnias over here where that's not at all the story. The story is the story of Matan Torah. It's the story of the original Har Sinai, and that's the whole, that's the entire story over here is like that. And yet we are treated to the words in Luchos Shnias, and we don't understand why. Let's look at possibly three of the nafkeminas that we find in the Psukim. The first one, the first major one, the one that's most noticeable and the one that Rashi brings is Zohar and Shomer. The difference between the first luchos, which says Zochos Yom HaShabbos, the second one says Shomer. The distinction between the two, Rashi says, is Nemru, that Zochos and Shomru, Nemru B'diva Echad, Masha Enoz Yochol Shmo, and so on. The what it means is, I guess if we can explain it in a language that we can understand, imagine there is a fancy legal term which includes in two words a multitude of points. For someone who is an experienced lawyer, as soon as you say that word, the two, three different elements of it all come out. For a person who's not, you need a three-line explanation for that, for those two or three words. So it means that these are two or three distinct ideas that when they are said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're encapsulated in one idea. We, to understand, need to think and understand each one separately. So we have Zohar in the first Shabbos, and the first Luchos, Shomer in the second one, and in Vayeshchanan we have Shomer given as the Luchos. The second very clear nafkemina is in terms of what the reason for Shabbos is. The first luchos, we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in 6 days, and that's why we keep Shabbos. The second one is the Zacharta, Kevada Yisra Mitzrayim, and the Shabbos, and the Avdus, and the Menucha, and so on, that's associated with Yitzias Mitzrayim. A second very big nafkemina. A third nafkemina is the difference between the Luchos Shnias and Rishonos as given to us by the Psukim in Kisiso. In Kisiso we have the both parashas, both Luchos, and the description of the Luchos in the first one, the first Luchos, is that the Michtav, that it says Valuchos Maase Elokim Hema, Vamichtav Michtav Elokim Hu. The Luchos were divine, in other words, the stone, so to speak, came from Hashem, and the writing was a writing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So both the stone and the writing on it are both divine. In the second one, it says Psol L'choshen L'savonim, Yom Moshe Rabbeinu carve out to Avanim, and I will write on it, and the words I say will be written on it. It'll be also written by, so to speak, with a Ksav Elokim, but it is Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu provided. So three readily observed nafkeminas that we're not clear what the meaning of those nafkeminas are. What's the change? And Luchos Shnios now become the luchos that we're told about in Mishneh Torah. And in order to understand the difference between luchos Rishonim and luchos Shnios, we're going to have to look at these nafkeminas and try to understand what it is that they express. Let's start with the following point. It is shallow to think that Luchos Rishonos were more holy than Luchos Shnios. They got broken, and now we were downgraded to a Luchos Shnios. That's something that is kind of very shallow. What it really means is Luchos Rishonos were not Luchos that could endure, and Luchos Shnios have something, a tikkun in them. They have some sort of change that allows for us to allows for those luchos to stay with us. It's just like when a person does tshuva and aveira, what he does is it's not only a second chance, but like the Rambam says, he has what's needed to go through the same test and withstand it. So when a person does tshuva, what he really needs to do is to understand what was the underlying flaw that allowed the first chet to happen. And then, as the Rambam says, he walks by the same woman, same place, you know, everything, same scenario, and he's not nichshol. So it's not simply a matter of tremendous regret, necharata, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let's start a new leaf. We're not starting a new leaf only, we're redoing the leaf in a way that we recognize the flaw that happened and we rectify something that will allow us not to repeat the same problem. So what exactly is the tikkun? What exactly is the change? And in some ways, we need to understand that the first luchos were not a mistake either. Let's take a dogma. Two people are teaching Talmidim. One person is by far smarter, by far more knowledgeable of the material that he's teaching, in every way superior to the first one, and he teaches kifi his understanding. One will assume that his words are the most precise and comprehensive exposition of the material that he's trying to teach. The second one is not as big as the first one, but he has a keener understanding of the of what it is that the students need to know, need to understand, and so on. He understands how they understand material. So he phrases and presents his material in a way that the Makabel is much better at it. So certainly that will be more effective. The Talmidim will probably understand and get it better. Imagine a person is a painter or an artist of some sort, and he has the most marvelous colors and pencils to paint or draw with. But if the paper is not up to the job, then it will cause it to bleed, to blot, to whatever it is that paper, a shortcoming paper does, that'll happen. So you need to have every time you have a mashpia and a makabel, you need to worry from both ends. You need to worry that the mashpia is giving the best that can be given. You need, however, to understand it from the makabel side and make sure that the makabel is capable of having what is a mashpia is mashpia. The Rambam says that Avraham Avinu would go from place to place and teach Torah. People would ask questions, and it says that Avraham Avinu would reply to each one kefi daitoi, according to the understandings and tfisa of the people that were listening. That is a very, very important nekuda. When Avraham Avinu sat and taught about Yiddishkeit, he taught to the best of the way he would phrase it and the way he would explain it. But as people ask questions, he would give to each according to his personal understanding. So we have an advantage of the lecturer or presenter who's presenting it totally from his ability and his comprehension. So ultimately, that's the most perfect exposition of the material. And then we have the person who is presenting according to the understanding of the one who's listening, and that is and that it is most helpful for the person listening, and probably will take root and stick around much more. This is a type of material that in a certain sense works very well when a person teaches, let's say, out of a text. So if a person is teaching the words of the Rambam, so the Rambam is precise, and it's actually one of the reasons, I guess, the Rambam himself is a perfect example, perfect mashal of somebody in terms of a posek, in terms of somebody who gave us the psak in from the halacha. One could easily make the statement the Rambam is the biggest. The Rambam stands highest in Gedolei Yisrael, and his sefer, the Mishneh Torah, is the incredible work of giving over Torah. The Rambam sefer is not a usable psak sefer. It's first and foremost for the reason that we don't always understand it. It is so precisely written. It is so to the point. He gives us no insight as to how he got to it, what exactly he means. Many times on the same three words in the Rambam, we can have a dozen different explanations in different ways. And they all can fit because we don't get the Rambam exactly. The Rambam is so fine and comes to such a point that for a makabel, a normal makabel, we're sort of at a loss. So the ability to give over, on the other hand, you take much later a posek who might be marich a lot, and he goes through a lot of explanation and back and forth and possible considerations. It doesn't come anywhere near the perfection of a Rambam, but on the other hand, it's much more user-friendly. We can relate it because we know exactly where he's coming from, what he's saying, and how he got to it, and how he's dealing with different problems, and so on. So we have a two-faceted way of looking, two facets of communicating emes. One is a certain shleimus mitzad the noisin, mitzad mashpia, and one is the best of the makabel. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us luchos rishonos. Even the stone is divine, and those luchos. So, it in a certain sense, the luchos were a perfection, the perfect script. It was the Rambam, so to speak. I'm just using an analogy, but this was like the it was written. It was divine word etched on divine stone. And everything was projected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection. It was very important that we have luchos like that. That's our point of reference. Just like the Rambam's precise words, or whichever Rebbe's precise words, or whatever text's precise words, are there to tell you how it's meant to be expressed exactly. For us to be koine it, for it to become part of us, we need a version of it that relates to Makabel. And if you take a look at the points that we outlined, there are many more points, in difference to Luchos Rishonos, you'll see it exactly like that. Luchos Rishonos, the stone on which the writing is divine as well. In other words, it's a so-called pure Makabel without any imperfections, receiving the pure word of Hashem. Luchos Shniyos, Moshe Rabbeinu is chiseled. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who, so yes, it's the highest madriga possible, but it's a human madriga. So the makabel for the words is also a stone shaped by a person. And it has limitations of a person, and b'meila the ability to be koilet is much better. The difference between Zohar and Shamar. Zohar is the positive side of Shabbos, exactly what Shabbos is. And shamar is what's needed to keep away from. So one is sort of the positive purity of the menucha and the kedusha of Shabbos, and one is the shmira. Shmira is always against the imperfection, the issue, the impure, etc. So the positive, the kodesh, which is a positive, the zechira, which is the positive element of Shabbos, relates to what Shabbos is, and shomer is what's needed to take away so that Shabbos could be chal in the bria. And obviously, Shabbos is presented from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maisim on the first Luchos. And in the second Luchos, we talk about your own Shabbos. Going back to Bria Solom is the pure shorish of Shabbos, but we latch onto Shabbos better when we experienced Abdus and Menucha and so on and so forth. So those are the Chilukim with Luchos HaShanah Luchos Shniyos. The Reb Chaim Vital writes in Shai Kedusha that the reason why Midas aren't mentioned in the Torah is because Midas are a prerequisite for Torah. And obviously he's referring to a very basic level of Midas, which provide a sort of backdrop, that they're the stone on which that's the Torah. Let's give an example. The Torah speaks that very refined chesed, lending money without interest. That's a very, very high darga of a chesed. And it's a midah that the Torah gives us to teach us how to reach out to other people. To stay away from achzorius in a very crass way, in a very cruel way, you need to be that before. You cannot teach a person who has got animal cruelty to himself to chassadim, things like that. So a person needs to first prepare the oven, the chiseled oven out, for Torah to land on it. If you try to put divine Torah on a kli kibble that's not ready for it, if I try to use the finest inks on paper that's not up to the task, it's a waste. The paper, the picture will come out distorted. And this is an area of where Lo'aleinu people whose Torah has become Sama Mavis instead of Sama Chaim, it's because of that. It's not that the Torah is off, but if the Makabel is not up to the task of being called that, then it's not going to work. This, in a certain sense, was we all here have the Mesoris of the Olmei Shivas of Torah and Musar. And there were constant back and forths about, wouldn't Torah do the job itself? And why do we need to have another element? Why isn't why couldn't we get the Musa from the Torah and so on? And the answer is, yes, we could, provided we have a basic worked out self to be Kabbal Torah. Imagine you walk over to somebody and say, you know, if you do that, you don't even have a Tzuras Adam. Imagine that's your Musa. Is that Musa effective or not? Well, if those words Tzuras Adam are meaningful to a person, and the person is somebody who it's important to, so certainly he will feel, you know, there's a chance the Musa will work. He has a kli for understanding what it is that is good and bad, and we're just simply urging the good on him, we're categorizing everything appropriately and so on. But if a person is a chayra and he's quite proud of being a chayra, that's his persona. So the musa that you should be good, what do you do with a person who says, I'm really interested in being good, it doesn't interest me, I'm just having a good time, that's only good I'm interested in, and get lost, I'm just interested in that. So that Musa will never go. We need, so the ethos of the Musa movement was, of course Torah, it makes you into what you ought to be. But if we're not taking the Kli Kibble into account, and we're not making a Kli Kibble that's royal for it, it's not going anywhere. It's not going to happen. Luchos Shniyos were a tikkun for Luchos HaShanah. They were something that they gave us the same luchos, and that's why Mishneh Torah is the first four were given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Mishnah Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu's Chazar to Klal Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu included in Torah. And that's what the Rishonim say. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is Torah, needs to be incorporated and written into the Torah. So Mishnah Torah represents the Torah that has landed on us, the Torah that has stuck to us, the Torah that has become us, mitzad de mekabel. So in Mishnah Torah, it's not the pshat we talk about the second luchos, you know, luchos 1, luchos 2. We receive the first luchos in a second version. In other words, in Mishnah Torah specifically, and after the tikkun, we are re-understanding. We're toifis luchos, the luchos of shinus, through the perspective of luchos shnios. So just like, let's say in a computer, you have many languages, layers of language, you have machine language, and then you have the basic language, and you have the specific coding, and each language translates itself down. The way it works is, I start with my personal self, and build into myself those kli kibbles that are necessary for Dvar Hashem. And as the Dvar Hashem comes to me, it translates into terms that are meaningful to me. The Zohar of Shabbos is translated into the Shomer for us. This, by the way, is an understanding, an important understanding for the Rabbanans. A lot of times people wrestle with this question, sort of in Ashkaf, and they say, I don't understand something. If the Rabbanans are meant right, then why didn't the Torah say it? If the Torah didn't say it, isn't the sign not right? The answer is, the Rabbanans are lumped together under the rubric of Mishmeres. It's exactly the same Shomer. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah in absolute truth, and we need to absorb it in a way that will sit on us. If we were to keep Shabbos exactly what the Torah gave it, that's perfect, but we would fail because we have failings. So just like in physics, you might study that, you know, X amount of a size of a beam can hold Y amount of floor. But when you build, when you study engineering, you say you do 2X to hold the Y because you take into account the flaws that are inevitable. These are two halakim of Kabbalah Satorah. There's the perfection mitzad the noisim, and there's the zehirus and the shmir mitzad the mekabel. Luchos shnios are a shleimus luchos shinus. We received one set of luchos. We received it mitzad the noisim, and that has a clarity to it. And we received it mitzad the mekabel, and that has in itself a holding power, a staying power, because of Mitzad Mekabel. The Shleimus of our Luchos is, in this parasha, we look back at Matan Torah, and we view it from the perspective of Luchos Shnios, of ourselves, and through that we perceive the Dvar Hashem in a way that Bez Hashem, the Hashem stays with us. Bye.